Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. How are you, my girl?
I'm sleepy. I'm very tired.
Yeah,
today.
I'm tired. I can't find my my headset, and it's not fun holding side to the phone from a landline.
No.
Yeah, what is this holding the cradle to my head? What is this? What is that? Yeah, and I always have a special place where I put my podcast stuff. And, yeah, so that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right, well, we'll manage. And if it seems that I need to be more hands-free, then what I might do is I might call in with my through my cell number and use my earbuds. So, all right.
Okay.
We muddle through, and yes, and not the most pep in my step at the moment, too.
Right.
So
I stayed up way too late last night. I ended up connecting with it's a distant relative.
Oh wow!
On my mom's side.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow! Your grandmother's side. Wow.
Yeah, through Facebook, and so he lives in the Philippines, and actually we connected because I saw his name. On a post for Alpha Phi Omega, which is my big service fraternity that I was a part of, well, they have a branch in the Philippines that started in the 50s. So not that, I guess it started maybe because of the war, World War II. A lot of the servicemen went over there, and they were also part of Alpha Phi Omega. So they started a Philippines chapter. And it's like any Greek life thing in the Philippines, it's crazy. Like, they're fanatics, you know, and they're diehard in it for life. But I noticed his last name was my grandmother's maiden name. And it's not a common last name as far as I can tell, but for me it's not. So I just clicked on his profile, and sure enough, he's like friends with some of my some cousins of mine. I still have never met any of these cousins, but friends with my cousins. So I figure, okay, he's got to be family. So I just send him a quick message and then a friend request. And so he finally replied back like late last night because, you know, they're like a day a half ahead.
The time difference.
Like
So we
did our thing.
So that's
did our
nice.
Thing. We were trading back and forth, but he's like, sorry, you know, my English isn't so good. Because he replied back in Filipino. I'm like, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not Filipino.
And,
school me, no speaking. Right.
Yeah, so he was trying to reply back, but like apparently his mother passed away this year.
Oh, Lord.
Like in September.
That just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't going to try to ask him too many questions, like, where are your people from? And, you know.
Right. How's your mom's side of the family? Yeah, not good.
Right. Right. But I think it's his father who's the connection. And his father, he said my dad died when he was 14. So I'm like,
ooh. Wow.
Okay. So he's 46. I'm sure.
So you're very close to age.
Yeah, but I think I haven't figured out how the family tree works on that side with the where the generations start and end.
Right.
Because when I told him my grandmother's name, he's like, yeah, that's my aunt. I'm like, well, all right, we'll have to see how this works out.
That's interesting math.
But then there's that whole thing with like on my on the Philippine side, you know, where everyone's your aunt and uncle, you know,
uh-huh.
And so I remember just recently going over the family tree with my dad and one of my uncles, and they're like, no, that's your uncle so and so. I was like, well, no, he's your cousin, so that makes me his cousin, like, twice removed. And they're like, what? You're like, no, that's not. They were getting a little angry about it. I'm like, all right, I'll just, you know, I've only known him as uncle, so that's fine.
Okay.
But it's not a disrespectful thing. It's just
that's the truth. Yeah, and it's so interesting. Just the experiences and how one relates to a sense of connection within a family. Like, you have a vast family network. You have a ton of family in the South, and then you have a ton of family in the Philippines. And then you think about people. I'm thinking of one dear friend in particular who's really, really hurting right now. I don't want to name him by name, but Anna knows who it is because they actually became close. And he's lost his wife. It will be a year in February. And he has no family.
Wow.
No family. And his mother, she just makes everything about her. She's not well at all in terms of, like, not really getting what he's going through. And it's not for him in his traumatic state to explain it to her. So they've been estranged for, and she wasn't a big fan of his wife. So, but I believe she is his only relative.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
I know. So when you're talking, about all of that, it's like a realm. It truly is a realm of connection and a realm of exploration and a realm of epigenetics and a realm of healing. And it's vast, and there's a tree from which branches could come out. And his situation is like the Charlie Brown tree, where it's sad. And sure, if there's connection, there's hope. In knowing who his mother is, and having met her, I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you just know when to walk on by. Like, nope, this. You don't want to say it's hopeless. There's always hope. If there's life, there's hope. But it's a matter of that free will to breathe life to that ember that's really on the verge of fading out. It's quite profound. It's quite profound, and I have a tiny, tiny family, but I have a family. You know, I have my own family, my children, and then I have my mother and my three siblings. So that's something. You know, cousins, this, that, and the other, that's all ancillary. There's no real closeness, and I'm the only one out of the four children that my parents had together to have had children. So my kids have no first cousins, right?
Right.
So, but there's something. There's like a branch and three leaves. So I can't even imagine having a threadbare. Not even a branch. It's very sad.
Yeah.
No, it's really, really sad. And those of you who have experienced extreme grief, generally speaking, this time of year is one of the hardest, where holiday season, from Halloween to till New Year's, it can be quite treacherous. And his wife, my dear friend, adored all the holidays. And adored, I think Halloween was a favorite. So I know there's a little bit of a regression.
Right.
Not really anybody
right.
to turn to. I mean, how much can he turn to me? You know, and sometimes you just don't feel like talking. You don't have that energy. And I get it. And I take no personal offense to it. And I know how hard it is and when it's time to step back. I'm just also, I'm very grateful that I wasn't in the financial position when I was grieving at its most intense. I had to get a job.
Right.
I had to go to work. I had to, thank God. Thank God. So as hard as that was, I am so grateful for that. And then for so many years later, like in the last 2-3 years, to deal with knowing that I had to get divorced, dealing with that, and then finally getting divorced, which is now not even a year and a half, a year and several months, dealing with that pain, thank God I have kids to feed. So being forced to move forward, thank goodness. So, not that this person is wealthy, but this person can. This person was able to afford to be out of work. Actually, got a severance package a year ago, October, and then in February lost his wife. So, if you're dealing with being very generic in terms of what would affect stereotypically a male who's a provider, if that's and being in an executive position, so very mainstream sort of labeling here, so to be very generalized, you lose the two things that most gave you a sense of identity.
True.
And there's no children. They had no children. No family tree. A mother who doesn't get it, who you know, has her own issues. So, yes, stay away. I agree with that because she's very toxic. Mm. It's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. And so you're talking when you know when you're talking about you connected with a remote family member who really isn't that remote. If you and you know theoretically, and you have so much of that, it's just fascinating. I think it's really hard, and I'm not super close to my. To my siblings. I'm connected to them, but I am not super close. But I'm profoundly close with my mother.
Right.
So that's huge. You know, I'll see my connection with my mother with your, you know, 500 cousins. Boom. You know, like
right.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
But if you have nothing and no one outside a handful of very concerned friends and the one you're closest to was really
right
by default because close to you and your wife, wow.
And you know, that is something, whether you're born into a large, because you can be born into a large family and still feel very alone.
Right. That's true.
And, you know, so it's true that there are, you know, there's that, the common ground is that, oh, I can probably trace, you know, how we are connected. And then there's that we can talk about.
Right.
But, you know, I have some of my closest friends are only children.
That's right.
And they also, it's sort of like my big back Greek wedding, the guy is like, yeah, I have like one cousin, you know,
right.
and meanwhile, she's got, you know, like 500 first cousins, just first cousins.
Right.
So there is that, there's still a skill or it's not even a skill. Sometimes that's just luck of the draw with how you cultivate your connections.
I think it is a skill, actually, to be honest, to cultivate whether your family or your friends or whatever. I think it is a skill.
Yeah.
So you have to put effort into a skill, right?
You do. You do. Mm-hmm. And there are periods of time where you're probably only going to be focused on, you know, your primary relationship.
Right.
And then there are periods of time when you're like, oh my gosh, I need a break, and I need a girls' weekend, or I need to,
right?
You know, I need to hang out with my cousins, or so. But it's nice to have that option, right?
Exactly.
Not everyone does.
Right.
Not everyone can say, I'm just going to call up a bunch of my cousins and we're going to go take a trip. But
everybody
has the opportunity to cultivate their family however they want to.
That's right.
You know, define that family.
Correct.
But it's still a skill. Whether you have, you know, whether you're used to doing that or not, whether you grew up with a large family, sometimes you grew up in a large family and all you want to do is be left alone.
Well, look at your brother.
And I,
yeah, he's completely, right, your oldest brother.
Or to have completely different connections. So there's no,
you
know, whatever his mindset is, and that is like, I'm going to do it on my own. Whereas there are people, like, you know, I think there are plenty of people in my immediate family or my extended family where we don't feel like we need to be up in each other's grill all the time, 24/7. But we do like the occasional gathering, and we can handle
that connection. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just enough, and it's beautiful. You can really appreciate that when it's there. It's the fact that you know that it's there, and it's like, oh, someone's having a graduation or someone, whatever, some milestone. And that's built in. These beautiful events are built in, and then it's a way for people to stay connected.
Right. We do have a hand raised. I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. I know apparently, and you can just type it in if it is, but Blog Talk is being very extra today, so I think
today
every day. But I think there is like you guys maybe hearing music while you're listening in the chat room. I don't know if it's necessarily pleasant music. It's not music that we have, programmed in.
I hope
but,
it's by heavy metal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No. Raven said that it's. String music, it breaks when you stop talking. So I said, I sent in a message to Blog Talk, which by the way, their help center doesn't open for another 2 hours. So
thanks.
Our apologies. So all right. But anyway, let me get this call and we'll see what's going on. Area code 519. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, Liz. It's Jennifer.
Jennifer, it's been a minute. How are you?
Good, yes. Classical music, but your show is not the only one that's been doing that lately. So, I don't know. Maybe they should get their shit together.
Right.
But whatever. That's on them. We're just gonna keep it moving and do our little rinky dink podcast. So, Jennifer. Welcome. And so what's going on? How can we help today?
Can I have a card?
Sure. Let me just load up the database, and we're changing things slightly, but what's good is that you specifically asked for a message, and we've changed, I don't know when the last time you listened, but we're shifting things, but the energy is basically the same. We're just gravitating in different directions, but you asked for a message, so that's perfect, so that remains the same. So I have the database loaded up, so stand by. I am ready when you guys are.
Pick.
Okay. So the number associated with this message is 913. Whoa, this is very profound. Okay, when processing the trauma of what is incomprehensible to the mind, heart, and soul, words are an inadequate barrier. Step into the storm's eye. And that really is the peace that knows no understanding. So let me read it again, but this message is very specific.
Mm-hmm. And relevant, yeah.
Okay, good. So let me read it again so everybody can hear it again. And I want to talk about what's going on, because this tells me that things are really going on. When processing the trauma of what is incomprehensible to the mind, heart, and soul, words are inadequate. Step into the storm's eye. 913. Yeah, so, Alisa, you know the number is 913. I just want to hear a little bit from Jennifer, and then I want Alisa to get into the number sequence, if that's okay with you guys. What's going on?
I just started a new job yesterday, which would be that one. I lost a job this year, which would have been the 9. what I've been trying to do, I went to a meditation thing at church on Sunday.
Right.
And it's a heartful meditation. It's
okay.
Some sort of yogi practice. But when
Hold up. Before, I would like to understand. So I want you to just slow down for a second.
Okay.
And when you say, they call it a heartful meditation. So it's
correct.
Like, okay, got that. And then when you say church, is it a traditional church? Is it a metaphysical church?
Metaphysical.
Metaphysical?
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense. So the word church is a very generic term. So
mm-hmm.
I had a feeling that's what you meant. But just for
mm-hmm.
everybody listening, I want them to understand it's not like she went to high Catholic mass. She went she went to a metaphysical church. So that could be Unity, Science of Mind. There's so many of them out there. Okay, so you keep going, please.
Okay, so we did this meditation, and it sounds in theory like if you can master this or just do it, you know, you're going to have such a connection to the divine, which I feel like I've got a connection there.
Well, we all have a connection, of course.
Yeah.
But if you can, okay, and again, I'm not interrupting you. It's more paying very close attention. If anything, I'm listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting a lot of attention into the words that you're saying. So it's not me being rude and cutting you off. So when you say, if you can master this, okay, what
mm-hmm.
is the, so that's the theory, and what is the this? So please be very specific.
Okay, it's about, you know, letting the words go, letting the visuals go, letting the sounds go, letting everything go, but going into your heart center and
got
experiencing
it.
The light and the connection.
Right.
So it's about feeling, right? So no words,
correct.
Feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but of course, you know, sometimes when you're in a group meditation, things don't always go as planned. So, and I've been trying to do it on my own, but I'm getting a block at the heart. So, but I don't feel like words are going to be able to talk me through this one. So
okay.
I've got to figure out another way to get
hold
to it.
Hold it. Back up a little bit. You are doing it. And it's part of the journey. So when you say I have to figure out another way to it, no. In a group setting, I'm not a big fan of a large group setting, okay, for exactly what you're talking about, right? There's a lot of vulnerability involved. And the thing is, the nature of the mind is to gravitate and wander. And the reason why the nature of the mind is to do that is because it's wired into our brain chemistry from the beginning of the inception of humankind, because that's why in wacky 2019 we're still here. Okay, so it's primal. It's how the mind works. So it's not like you got to figure out a different way or this, that, and the other. May I ask about roughly how many people were in this group setting?
About 20.
Right. And there's always in a group setting, there usually, not always, but there usually is at least one person that perhaps perhaps is feeling a lot of things from it brings up a lot of things from the past, from other dimensions. It brings up a lot of things, and if there isn't sort of that understanding of not one size fits all, right? So if that understanding isn't spoken of or understood as a collective group, then the playing field, so to speak, the human made playing field, so to speak, is imposed. It's like a rug that spirit doesn't want. That's an ugly rug, okay? A rug that needs to be sanitized and not there is laid over the etheric field.
Ooh.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right?
I do.
So that's so I believe that what you didn't know what place to put this experience. So of course, the default setting is you're going to put it a little bit on yourself. Well, I didn't master this, and I got to figure out a different way to get to that connection. The fact that, and this is I want you to continue, but the fact that I stopped you at the very, very beginning was to neutralize the judgment that you imposed on yourself. But the only reason why you imposed it on yourself was because the playing field was obscured by this imposed field of what was going on in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Everything that you're saying about starting that journey absolutely lines up with
okay.
how that works for that starting point. So I'm saying this so that self-judgment is now neutralized, dissolved, and released. And I already know that it is. I feel it dissolving in you already. So do me a favor, just take a deep breath, just and let that drop in. So we have shifted a little bit the dynamic of how this show is going. We're calling it the Lois Effect, standing for Love Originates in the Self, and we're applying modalities that are coming in from or influenced or coming in from this energy of
Lisa Spiritual, Lisa's spiritual mentor, Lois Grant, who is a great teacher, who I don't know her from anything, and I don't think we would have liked each other in the physical, haha. But on the other side, she's coming in through me. So I'm just letting you know, that's why it's shifting a little bit. So this is me receiving information coming from her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So,
yep.
Crazy. And I'm like, okay, love being a guinea pig, but it's fun. Okay, so start again. Group meditation. You're feeling kind of like this kind of like concern, self-judgment a little bit, not quite sure. Pick it
mm-hmm.
up from there, please.
But it's essentially letting the words go and just getting into the feel of it. However, when I go into the heart center,
right,
I actually physically feel my heart,
which I think
is the intention.
I think that's great.
Okay.
I think that's spot on, to be honest. I really do. Keep going.
Well, that's basically what I get. It's not, and my question was to the facilitators were awesome. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you know, maybe what keeps us from, you know, doing a regular meditation routine or, you know, getting into this is our lack of worthiness, which is where I think mine stems from, is feeling like I'm not worthy to connect with the divine.
Oh, my God, but you did connect to the divine. The fact that you just felt that it's a different language.
Mm,
oh,
okay.
Girl, no. No, see, that's not Lois, that's me. Ha-ha. All right, so okay, so do me a favor. Take a deep breath and lay whatever available hand you have, Jennifer, put it on your heart.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no. Words, they are, oh, my God, no. You are so ahead of the game. If I dare say so, you're very mistaken. You're a little confused. No. There's no words. If you have ever had an experience, especially in the dream state, where someone that you lost from the other side connected with you. Have you had an experience like that?
Well, I've had them connect with me not in a dream state.
Good. Even better. So it's the same, whether it's a dream state is the most common, which is why I asked it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Even better. Okay, so that tells me, all right, so now you're 2 for 2. So you're really mistaken, Miss Thing. Okay? Now we're 2 for 2. So the reason why I posed this question is because that connection is nonverbal. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm. That's
thank
right,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
So the
yeah.
thing is, words, time, space, traffic lights, garbage pickup, source doesn't need that. So you are so there, it's not, there's no words are supposed to exist in that field, in that dimension. You're there. So when I, for instance, on this show, if I feel the energy of somebody from the other side, it's not, we're always talking in images and in feeling and in sensation. So it's like a treasure map of symbol,
mm-hmm.
right? And why I'm so grateful for doing this show for 10 seasons now is because I have been able to cultivate all those muscles and to gain that understanding. So I can tell you, you have been entering that realm. And remember, the peace that passes all understanding. Do you see that? I think that's from the Bible. I don't know. I think it is. And passes all understanding. So understanding is words. Understanding is, oh, this is an explanation. This is empirical. This is scientific. The peace that passes all understanding. That's, You felt your heart. Girl, that's connecting to the heartbeat of, and now here's Lois, of the Gaia, of the resonant sound of the Earth Mother. Now, Elisa, did she talk about there's like a frequency, there's like a resonance with that, with the Gaia, with the core of the Earth?
I mean, I don't recall her ever talking about that, but
she talked about
she
it
is
now.
About frequency. She is about frequency.
Okay, so I'm kind of in an altered state, so I can't switch to my iPad to look that up because I don't want to break the connection with Lois. But that's what I'm being led to say to you. The Earth Mother, I believe it's Gaia, G-A-I-A. And again, this is just what I'm picking up from our virtual co-host. The whole theme, core, heart, and soul of where we are directing with this podcast and with moving past this podcast into other things is what we're calling the Lois effect, love originating in self. So it's originating in yourself, Jennifer, with the core of your being. So there is a connection between the earth core resonance and that frequency of the heart. And that makes sense with the intention and the theme of this meditation. Because
mm-hmm.
I would venture, maybe you can speak on it a little bit, the intention of this meditation practice was for what?
The intention was to connect with the divine.
Thank you. Well, you did.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, take a breath and receive that. And breathe that like into your heart, out through your heart. Let's just do it like one or two more times. As if your heart is breathing everything. As opposed to the lungs. Lower those shoulders. Drink some water when you can. And how do you feel right now?
Oh, I feel at peace.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the number was 913, if I recall.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Talked about the 9 and the 1. And so the 3 is about the energy. I mean, it is about this expression and this flow, and it isn't just words. It's meant to encompass all forms of expression. So it totally makes sense with all the things that you just talked about and the experiences you've had to have this feeling of, you know, of no words. And it really is this feeling, but we're so analytical and we're so used to trying to understand everything in that way. Because what if someone has to, whatever, I have to explain it to somebody, then I have to have the words. And then we get caught up in what we think it needs to be called so we can share it because we think we need to be able to share it in that way. But what's interesting is even in that group setting, I think that's partly why being in a group setting, you know, you can get all the distractions, but there's also a lot of power in that group setting because, first of all, the expectation hopefully is that no one will have the same experience, but there'll be enough of a similar experience that you get enough validation, and it's kind of in a weird way of like, oh, you kind of felt that too? Okay, good. It's not just me, like, being weird or I'm not the one levitating or whatever. Like, it's interesting because it is going to be a very individual experience. And even if you think you felt the same thing, if you describe it, it's going to sound completely opposite. Like, well, that's not the word I would use, you know. So then we get lost into the explanation of it. But the fact that you felt it is a fact. It's not to be watered down or lost in all this massive explanation or fumbling to even try to explain. But the 3 energy is there for you to say it is all the energy. It's not through one channel, and you can, talking about frequencies, you can tune in And some, you know, some channels are coming much clearer. You know, some are in high definition. So you end up fine tuning. And so when things get staticky, you pay attention, but then you make adjustments. I'm just getting this image of, you know, when you're, if people still listen to the radio, I have to sometimes, but if you're listening to a radio, you just, you know, some of them are already kind of supposed to be tuned. You're supposed to be able to tune in, but some come in clearer than others. So, you know, whatever you do to make the adjustments, and those are all internal adjustments. Sometimes it's not even something that you move. It's just something that you focus your attention to. That's the adjustment. So that, again, meditation is a way of focusing. So when you look at all these things, I looked up the Gaia frequency, and it's the Schumann resonance. If you've heard of that, the Schumann resonance.
That's right. Yes, yes.
It's 7.83 hertz is what it's saying here. Mm. So you can Google that. So there is a frequency for the Earth. There's a frequency for everything. So, but it's documented. And so when you are in your state, you are feeling what you're feeling, and maybe your brain is trying to make sense of it. Like, again, so in case you need to, you know, call up on a show and say, well, this is what's going on. Did I feel this? How am I closer to the divine? And it is interesting, because I think you already knew the answer. It's just, you want to hear the validation. Like, you want to make sure that you're not on some crazy path that's going to go over a cliff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, is this, you know, I don't think you think it's going to be dangerous, but like, everyone questions it. Am I doing this right? And there is really no, it's not even in those standards of right or wrong. Because something that can seem right, and then you get too much of it and ends up being wrong. So you just never know, right? It's the timing of things. Mm-hmm. So the 913 ends up being a 4 if you add up all that stuff. So this is, again, laying foundation work for you. And it's just, it's not even like you're not having to dig a whole new hole here. It's just you've got these bricks, and you've already got the foundation, and it's just saying, you know, how big is this going to be? Because what are you building now? And then this is the start. So for you to be in this mode of, I want to connect to the divine, you can do that in a group setting. You can do that anytime you want. And this is the experience that you're having to remind you of that. And one, the thing is, you're pretty much always connected. You may not be aware that you are. And you may, in fact, have talked to yourself into thinking that you're not. But you are. You're always connected. You just may not, be receiving it as clearly as perhaps, you know, you have at one point. So all of this to say, to kind of get out of the words, which is funny, because this is how we're doing this, right? This is in this form, as humans, we have to have some type of language, some way to communicate, but it's so limiting. You know, despite all the words we can come up with, it can be very limiting. And there's no best way to describe, you know, how being at one or being at peace really feels. Like, even if it's a great words, it's not going to be enough to cover the scope of it. And that's okay. But that shouldn't take away from the fact that you are feeling it. And so the eye of the storm acknowledges there's a lot of stuff happening, but in the eye of a hurricane, that is the calmest point. So all the stuff is swirling around, and you can just be. And that's an interesting image to keep, right? Because it doesn't mean I'm on top of a mountain, I'm not going to be, nothing's going to happen. Like, no, you're living life. There's stuff happening. And in the eye of the storm, you're still in the middle of it. But how calm is it for you in that moment?
As calm as I make it.
And, right.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Be the eye.
be the eye. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're you're obviously you're doing fine. You're doing fine, and these are good questions. But you know, when we tend to get overwhelmed with the words and the analysis of it, and you know, I'm right there with you. That's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being like I've been talking about lately, just being outside and walking around and not having to do anything in particular, not having to problem solve anything. I'm just being. It's very liberating. So to get your mind out of doing all the heavy lifting, because that's what it's used to doing, and just breathing, and so that's why these meditative practices help. Whether it's guided, whether it's just music, whether it's just walking, or whether it's just breathing, and that's all you need to do, just be. You know, we can really scale it down. And I think we will go through those stages where in the beginning, maybe you do need music, and you need to have something guided just to get you in that mode. But, you don't have to go anywhere or be anywhere else but where you are right now, and set the intention and just breathe. And even if you think you're thinking way too much, you're still doing it right. You're fine. We just have to get out of tripping over ourselves in our analysis of everything at every given moment. And if you have that image of the eye of the hurricane, the eye of the storm, and even looking at it on TV, like on the weather maps, where there's like this massive cloud cover and huge circle and just one little circle in the middle, you can pinpoint, oh, yep, that's where it's the calmest. You know, right there is the safe space. And reminder, it's always moving, even if it seems like it's hovering. I mean, everything is still in motion. You know, you're not dead. You're still moving. So be the eye. And know that it exists, even in the craziest of storms. It's still they're still there. There's still space for that.
And as Lisa's been speaking to you, Jennifer, I've been picking up a lot of angelic energy. I don't know if there's a personal connection that you have with the angelic realm, but I just wanted to mention that because it's a really beautiful energy.
When the person was snoring beside me at the meditation, I asked Archangel Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, can you please shut them up? And it worked.
Okay, that's really, 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 really funny. That's really funny. So they're around you, and the fact that I'm so glad that you didn't reveal that detail.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when Elise was giving her wonderful information, I continue to connect to the listener to see if there's anything else I can offer. And this beautiful, benign, angelic energy came in very, very clearly, so I wanted to. Yeah, so it tells you, my dear, you're more connected than words can tell you, but so because it doesn't come from that. So I hope we gave you some clarity and some peace with where you are, because you're doing great.
Absolutely, thank you very much, ladies. I appreciate
you're
it. And
welcome.
Hopefully, the show we can hear it on the radio next week.
That would be
right.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah, and the Gaia frequency, whatever Elisa said, go on YouTube and listen to meditations or what have you that has that frequency in it, and work with that in your own private, like, little meditation setting. Let that resonate with the heart. If that came up. And that came from Lois, then I definitely recommend that you explore that. And if you feel like it, down the road, call us back with an update.
Will do. Thank you.
Yeah, but work with that. Our pleasure, honey. Yeah. Have a good one.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
You too. Take care. All right. We do have another call.
Okay, let's do it.
It's area code 808.
Hello.
Let's see. Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. Who's this?
Hi. My name is Felicia. How are you?
Good. So I'm going to ask for permission to connect to your energy, please.
Permission granted.
Oh, hello. Thank you. And if you don't mind, if you can give Elisa your date of birth, just the month and the day.
October 10th.
Oh, hello. Go short.
Hello.
Happy belated birthday. Yes.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Okay. Why'd you call this wacky podcast, girl? What's going on?
Well, I'm kind of just in this weird limbo right now. And
aren't we all?
Nothing is progressing, and I'm having a lot of, like, financial issues, and I've been kind of thinking about going back into spiritual work. Just not sure if that's what's in the cards for me or if there's something a little different that I should be doing.
Okay, so let me just ask you a question, and I'm glad that you gave your birthday, because Elisa can give you some insight as to what is going on right now, since you just had a birthday the other day, which is so significant. Before I turn it over to her, so when you say going back to spiritual work, what are you referring to specifically?
Well, I used to do readings, and I kind of did them in my own little way. But I would really also like to expand on that and work on shamanism. I would love to do, like, herbs and healing and things like that. But that would take time, of course.
Well, honey, it takes a lifetime. It's a journey. I think it's such a wonderful, the fact that you're called to do it. Like, not everybody says, oh, I want to be a shaman. Like, especially, like, you know, you sound young, so it's not like, you know, what I want to do my last chapter in life before my 100th birthday, I want to be a shaman. No, you're like, super young. So that's exciting and rare, very unique. And if you really think about what that means, is the shaman is the one that offers wisdom, and that in that wisdom offers healing. And I think it's really cool, and often the most amazing healers start off in a very humble, vulnerable place, such as yourself. A very dear friend of mine who started out as, and I knew it too because I happen to co-host this podcast, I'm a little psychic, thank you, so I knew before I even met her that we were going to become great friends, and I was going to break every rule at her private one-on-one retreat in New Mexico. And I view her as a shaman. She's an incredible, wise healer, and honored that she's now my dear friend. And she's an herbalist. She's a master acupuncturist. She teaches, like, she's amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're very close, and we speak regularly. On the phone, we're in close touch, and I've even sent my son to have a private retreat with her. In a few weeks, Anna, who is the founder of this podcast, is going to New Mexico for a private retreat. And I say all of this, and one day I'm sure we'll be doing retreats, we'll be facilitating retreats together, okay? And I say all this because she feels very safe with me. She's gotten guidance from me, and it's really funny because she didn't know me from anything when I first went to her retreat. The first day I wake up, and she has it in her really cool house in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I say, someone's mother's upset with somebody. Somebody's mother's upset, okay? And she's looking at me like, what? And the room that she has for her retreat guests the mother of the woman who she's renting the house from died and stayed in that room.
Oh, wow.
And so what had to happen during my retreat on day two, I'm giving a reading. Right? So what's really funny is that we see each other as equals, as colleagues, as friends, as whatever. But that's a funny, really funny introduction, because people from the other side were talking to me like in her house, like less than 24 hours in. So over time we've developed this friendship, and she, in the way, and I say all of this. Okay, and this woman, she's in her 60s, okay? So she is a wise woman.
Wow.
And I have to tell you, and this is why I'm getting into all of this, okay? Not just to tell the story, but to have it impact you. With me, she has been incredibly childlike, and I mean that in a good way, vulnerable, innocent, unsure. You follow what I'm saying? And how her path, her journey emerged from a lot of pain. Right?
Oh, wow.
When she was super, super young. So it's not like the shamans are going to be with their little superhero outfits and all of that. Now, I can be the most interesting person at the party. I'm a good time. Even by myself, I'm like, oh, I'm having so much fun. You're so much fun. Yes. Okay. Good time. Okay. But the thing, and I could, you know, do great readings on this show and be really good at what I do. But all that came, or the origin came from great insecurity, unsureness, vulnerability, and tremendous pain and trauma.
Yeah.
So that's like the raw material that you have the opportunity to see what you can do with it. So I can now, all these years later, you know, because at the gate there was like stuff going on, like from the family I was born into to my present life. There's just always stuff popping off in my life, like forever. And I'm like, and when are we going to go, like, have the golden years? I guess it's not going to happen, but whatever. So I say this to you, that it's that when you approach that, like the fact that someone so young with such an open, vulnerable heart is considering that, I just want to assure you the way I assured our last caller, right? Because she's like, well, there's no words, whatever. I'm like, yo, hello, there's not supposed to be words. You're good. Like, you're there. I want to say that a kind of a parallel thing to you, that the fact that you're not sure and there's a vulnerability to it and you're completely in the dark is really kind of good. Because the ember, and right now it's an ember, that you're going to decide if you're going to protect that from the storms of, like, day-to-day life and everything else. That ember is for you to decide how much you're going to protect it or not. And the ember doesn't care. The ember is not from this world.
Mm.
And to use a very, okay, you know, this might be Lois coming in, I don't know. Okay, but to use a very, and for, I'm going to have a disclaimer. Okay, I apologize for the comparison I'm about to make. Okay?
Okay.
So don't get upset, and I don't know if this is going to resonate with you, but it's coming in from the other side. So I never do a disclaimer, but I'm going to right now.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of surprised it's coming in, but it's not coming from me. Hello? I'm not saying. I just heard it. Somebody told me down the block. Okay. The comparison is, if a woman made the decision to terminate a pregnancy, okay, the being of that terminated pregnancy has no judgment, is not affected.
Yeah.
Doesn't make the person, so I hope that doesn't trigger anything with you, but
no.
That good. But I just needed to say that's not a metaphor Liz would come up with. Okay, but it came in, and not that I'm saying that you have a personal connection with that, but in me saying that, it gives you a clarity, right?
Okay.
I mean, I'm asking you. I don't know.
Well, in relation to, you said it was a comparison.
Meaning a comparison to that in being so, in being so, the ember, like right now you're protecting the ember of the, that, that's mm-hmm. the potential of like your shamanistic journey, right?
Right.
So the ember is almost like the potential of a pregnancy. Okay, so that's
what
I'm
saying
as a metaphor. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the
yeah.
ember is like that life, but the that but that ember is not going to judge you if you decide for right now it's not time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. But and that's kind of the thing. I'm like, when will ever be the right time?
Honey, there's no right time. Because
there
I'm going to say
no
this
right
again,
time.
Like I said to the last caller, there's no such thing as time. We
and
made
that's
that,
exactly
we made,
how I feel about
we made
pregnancy.
That boop up. We made I beat myself. We made that up. That's humankind.
And
there's no
that
time.
The comparison that you made is that's kind of how I feel about pregnancy. When people, or when I was trying to get pregnant at one point, or when anybody asked me about
wow.
getting pregnant, and they're like, "Oh, it's you know, it's not a good time," and I'm like, "There will never
it's
be
never
a right time.
Right.
You
girl,
can never guarantee
girl,
a right time."
And then you're on lockdown. Okay, I got two kids, and then and I mean it in the most positive way. But then you have this. Labyrinth of accountability and responsibility. Even if you're not with the father, okay? Like I'm not
right.
with the father, but I'm like, oh. So there's still there's still that entanglement,
right?
And you still have to have your act together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no right time because life
changes. And there's no
all
amount
the time.
Of planning that you can
you
ever,
can't plan
ever,
for
ever do.
We can't plan for 5 minutes from now. I don't know what's going to happen when
no.
the show is over.
You could be a billionaire and have your child and
doesn't
be
matter.
Broke next year. Like it,
that's right.
It doesn't matter.
Right. So what I recommend to a lot of people, and this is something that I follow for myself, especially when things are very, very rough, and it's the 10-minute technique. Can I get through the next 10 minutes? Yeah. 10 minutes after that. That's a technique. I learned that from homeless people.
Wow.
I'm sure it came from someplace else, but
yeah.
people in very dire straits. So if life is a
yeah.
series of 10 minutes at a time, right?
And that's one of my biggest goals. I want to work with homeless people, especially
drug
addicts.
Oh, see, look at that. Look at how I brought that up.
And
mm-hmm.
I do, like, I want to bring my spiritual work into rehab. Like, I feel like it's missing there. You can't heal people with just 12 steps, in my opinion. You have to
right.
love on them and,
well,
and
what,
make
what,
them feel different.
Well, what's interesting is if you get what, and I know nothing of this world, but if you get conventional credentials, so whether it's getting a social work degree or whatever one needs for that as a way to legitimize yourself, but then you put your spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
I do that with my coaching clients. So I have private coaching clients for acting because I'm in that field in my day-to-day life. And
wow.
they're like, "How do you know that?" I'm like, "Girl, I happen to, you know." And they don't. I don't get into that. I do the show and I'm clairvoyant and this and I see dead people. Blah 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 blah. But it makes me a really great coach.
Yeah.
Right? So it's
yeah.
like, so I'm legitimized because I have a great reputation in that industry as a independent film producer, casting director, private coach, facilitator, teacher, this, that, and the other. So none of it is
wow.
really officially in that spiritual realm except for this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I take, but that's my secret weapon.
Yeah.
Right? So
exactly.
So that's, yeah. So I would say, with all the things that are coming up in this question and this conversation, that you already know, when you named something, you cut it in half. So you already know what you want to do.
I do. It's just a really weird, like, it's like, how do I go from, like, healing readings?
Well, yeah, but you know what, though? You don't put it into any container. And I'll tell you this, and we're over time, but I'm glad we had this conversation. I'll leave you with this, and I hope you give us a call back. What's happening with you now, and I get it because I went through the same thing back in the day, is that it's resistance in sheep's clothing. This is what's happening right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's resistance going in the form of kind of confusion, and I'm not sure. No, it's resistance. And it's serving a very practical purpose, because then you're not taking that first step. Because, girl,
right,
when you take that first step, there's no turning back. And I remember I was kicking and screaming. I did not want to. I was getting these messages from spirit and all that. I'm like, no. I got two kids. I got a business. No. And it got to the point, I so resisted it that I was on the verge of getting so sick that I'm like, I can't leave my babies, so I better get my beep together and explore this realm. What do you mean?
I'm dealing with a ton of, like, health stuff.
Girl.
Probably just behind not following my path, and a lot of emotional buildup, I'm sure.
But listen, it never goes away, but when you can name it, you can heal it. When you can feel it, you can heal it. And then
mm-hmm.
how can you be effective? You're the demographic that you want to help.
Right.
You better be relatable. And the thing is, I can be relatable to probably most people because I've been through a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be genuine and authentic. It'd be like, what does this bitch know from whatever?
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
That's the whole thing.
Yes.
So you kind of have to be in it to win it, so to speak. So I hope, and real quick, I really want to hear what Elisa has to say. I know I took up a lot of time. About your birthday. The bonus.
She just bust out laughing.
Oh my God. So you're like, oh, I know I take up a lot of time. I'm sorry. Hi. I'm
Elisa.
But it was a good conversation, yes. But happy belated birthday. And
thank
the
you.
Year, the personal year you're in is a 5 year. I'm listening really, I've been kind of chuckling along because all the things that are coming up for you, it's meant to get you outside of the box that you're kind of used to being in. So the 5 personal year is that energy of the unexpected and of incredible transformation and growth, so that you will go beyond what you thought you could, and it's going to feel a little awkward and a little scary, and there's going to be a little bit of doubt, and like Liz mentioned, a little bit of resistance. A lot, some of it just, you're so used to wanting that feel good all the time, but sometimes to get through to that really good feel good, there's that little bit of I don't know what's going to happen, and it's unknown. It's just kind of unknown, but kind of not. It's just that you don't know that you've actually, you do know that. You don't know that you know it until you experience it. So think of the 5 this year from your birthday to next October, all this energy and the experience of things. It's not the theory, which was about this past year, about the number 4 personal year, about setting goals and having this idea, plan. This is about being and experiencing it and having the adventure, because sometimes the best laid plans don't quite match up to what you said they're going to be. Sometimes they're fantastic.
Right.
Sometimes they're so much better. And sometimes they're like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have taken that left. But whatever, you know, we'll work our way through. So the things that you're learning or rediscovering about yourself, like getting back into your spirituality, in fact, when you said that, you're like, I think I want to get, you know, I think I need to get back into my spiritual work. I'm like, well, you're already doing it. You've always been doing it. You just may not have been calling it that. And you may not have been, you know, like having that, calling it that with other people, with whatever you're doing. Just you being kind can be your spiritual work, but you're not going to have a card that says, hi, I'm a kind person. That's my spiritual work. And you just do it. So sometimes there's a title that we want to have because we think it makes us very official. But, you know, a kind person and a good person is a good person, regardless of, you know, what title they have. So this is just allow for the adventure to unfold. And I think if you are being drawn to get into something deeper, like to do the shaman work, then obviously you need to explore that. And I think what you'll find is all the little things you have already been doing, just because you're interested in them, it's going to all come together. Like whatever you do with the healing, like if it's with herbs or if it's just, you know, crystals, whatever it is. The listening component, all of those things, you know, it's going to come together in your own brand. But then taking additional whatever coursework or apprenticeship or training with somebody who does that, and you can go a little bit deeper, and it will help you, especially with your other goals, you know, to blend with like helping the homeless. I think you do need to have some bit of, you know, contingency, you know, plans and protocols in place to keep you safe, you know, while you're out there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be like, this is my spiritual work and this is my work. I think those lines have to be blurred. They have to be blurred if you're really going to get into it. And just, you don't have to be as like forthcoming, like, hey, and I do this, because not everyone's going to be ready for it. But you just be you. And it's like, well, Liz, you know, people don't know all the stuff that she does, but she still does it. And she's incredibly effective with, you know, with everything that she does. So she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to have that whole, you know, I do this, it may be weird, you know, I see dead people. She doesn't have to do all that stuff. It just comes in. It just comes in, and it's part of who she is. And so that's the integration process that happens with going on the adventure that you're on right now.
Okay. I hope that I can see that happening. It's kind of done that for me before. And I just kind of ended up being like the neighborhood counselor to all the like teenage, they were like 19, 20-year-old guys. And they would come and sit in my big chair in my room, and they would let me give them readings, and they had never had them before, but
I love it.
Still to this day, I get emails from them, you know, we think about you all the time, you help us so much, and I'm like, wow.
You could do something with that.
Yeah.
You could do something. Oh, and I'll leave you with this, and then we got to go, because I got stuff to do. there's a online platform called Udemy, Udemy. And they have, it's online training. They got classes for everything. And when they have a sale, it's insane. Wait till they have a sale. So, but they have classes on, you name it. Just go on that, Udemy. I'm actually thinking of developing a course to put on there. But they have it for everything from computer programming to shamanism to everything in between.
Okay,
check it out.
Perfect.
All right, darling.
Out.
Call
Thank
us back.
So
Let
much.
Us know how you're doing.
All right.
All right, honey.
All right.
Happy
Take
birthday.
Care.
All right, girl.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
All right.
Oh my God. But that was good that we did a little overtime today. We haven't done that in a while.
That was good.
That was really good. It was a really good conversation. But I apologize because I was like all over the place, but it was good. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. And our next show is scheduled for this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, love yourself fiercely, let the light do the work, and to brighter days ahead. Love you. Take care.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.